Hey guys, super excited about today's episode. It is a different one that we've ever done before. It's with the founders of McDougal Bats. They make this super amazing bat that they made this custom one for us as a thank you. But they found a way to make bats almost indestructible, which when it comes to wooden bats, that's hard to do, and they're right here in Bend. But what we did with them is we brought them in, and we brought in one of our experts, Morgan, as we broke down, this is exactly how to do a campaign. This is exactly how you start selling these bats like crazy online and making a ton of money while doing it. And every single process, getting into the nitty gritty details of custom audiences, lookalike audiences, pixels, product catalogs, creative. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, video retargeting. So hopefully you guys will be able to take this and implement it for your own businesses or your own marketing initiatives. Please comment below for any other sort of tips and tricks you would like after watching this. Really excited that we were able to put it all out there for you. So without further ado, enjoy this podcast. What makes this thing much more indestructible than a typical wood bat?
Well, basically the hickory in the handle, because that's the iron of woods, but along with that strength comes a lot of weight. So we transition out to Oregon grown tan oak in the barrel to bring it back to a normal swing weight, so it feels like any regular bat.
Got it.
And we've got two patents on how we do that.
Okay. And so Mitch and I actually came to your guys' facility and seen what's worked, and this is just like everything you can see in here is actually a different piece of wood that you guys all intertwine together to create like this super, super strong bat that
is actually still all wood.
Yeah, that's still all wood, right. Mm-hmm. And you're able to, getting into is like a lifetime warranty on youth bats
because they
don't break. Yeah, exactly. When did you guys get this started? How did the side hustle become like the main thing?
Well, it was kind of serendipity. I had designed and built homes for 30 years.
Okay.
Before I got into this, and then in 2008, that all went away.
It did. Okay. So we're talking about in Bend when the crash happened and all the development, all housing stopped.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I had been looking around for work, and there was nothing here. And I was even looking up in Seattle, where I was born, and I had actually got a job to be a project manager for this company. And what they wanted me to run was building a new restaurant for the number one chef in Seattle in the ground floor of a new high rise, which was actually a kind of a lifelong dream of mine. I've always wanted to do. You sit in some restaurants, you look around, you go, wow, this would be a lot of fun to build. And so here it was, you know. Mm-hmm. And but in looking around for a place to live up there, I was so discouraged, and I was not going to go into the 1 or 2 hour commute lifestyle or anything like that. So I bagged it, and I said, just going to go back to Bend and hunker down. And driving down the street one day, I had always coached baseball, and both the sons played. And I was listening on NPR. They were talking about how Major League Baseball was convening a committee to study the breaking bat problem, because it was, you know, dangerous. There's barrels flying all over the field, and with sharp ends on them, it was just a real bad situation. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking at the time that, God, you know, somebody ought to do something. I'd lived through those pain points myself with buying, you know, $100 wood bat, and 2 weeks later, it's $100 worth of kindling.
Right.
And
were you saying, Morgan? You're looking up sometimes two at bats.
I
broke my very first bat that we paid. It was a nice customized $130 bat.
Yeah.
Gone in a week.
Awful.
Yeah. So Well, I was listening to this on the radio, and I remember exactly where I was, driving down Newport Avenue, mm-hmm. and listening to that and thinking, God, somebody ought to do something about that. And then I had a little, you know, you see in the cartoons, a little light bulb that goes mm-hmm. off. Well, I had to accept that my light bulb was a picture that looked like that.
It was, okay, what's the significance on that?
So it was just it was just a way to make a bat, laminate it, still make it all be wood, mm-hmm. and but laminate it with wedge-shaped pieces all the way around, so the strength is symmetrical. I thought, wow, that might work. Mm-hmm. And I went home and started making prototypes in the garage.
And Ian, how old were you?
That would be 2008. I was in college. I was up at Columbia Basin. So I was home during the summers.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember taking tongue depressors and scraping epoxy onto the pieces.
Doing everything in the garage. Yeah.
It was fun.
Not the methods that you saw in the shop.
Sure,
every day.
Sure.
And you played in college, too.
I played in college and professionally, yeah. We did some testing and stuff in my college for that, yeah. Because we were Wood Bat League as well, so
awesome.
That helped.
What were the guys saying in college?
There's a couple that went on and used them. It was, you know, it was early stage still initially, and there was a lot of promise there at the beginning. Most of the time it's different, mm-hmm. and baseball players in general are relatively kind of set in their ways and superstitious. But so initially it was a hard thing to get past. Oh, you're just making these bats. Mm-hmm. Like they're not Louisville Slugger. It's like, all right, that's not where this is at. This is a lot better than what you think it is. And so once people started giving it a chance and started to break into it, like, oh, wow, like I love this. It's got great pop. It's got, you know, a lot of different things. And then once I was done with college, we finally fell onto this model with these woods. And that's when it's really started to take off.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So now we're going to dive into now is basically my team, headed by Morgan here, went through your guys' ad account on Facebook, and we're basically like, okay, here's a strategy we would like to use to sell as many bats as possible. And then we talk about doing something like, let's just turn it into a show and have other people learn from it as well. And we're not going to hold back anything. Like, mm-hmm. this is how we're going to do this. And we're even going to go into what's 2020, mm-hmm. like what is going to be pretty common practice. It might not catch on till like 2021, 2022 when you start seeing what you'll see at the end of this. Mm-hmm. But the companies that are adopting it now are, it's pretty good. But first, speaking of side hustles, gotta have you guys try my side hustle, your guys' main side hustle.
Yeah.
But this is Had a Hot Sauce, and I'm looking to get taste tester feedback. And so this is fermented. And we basically just started making it, me and my best friend, because we were like, we like hot sauce, and so we're fermenting a bunch of it. And people were like, this is really good. And I was like, this is really good. And before you know, I was like, we gotta do something. So this is the meat side. This is actually not meat. Have you guys ever heard of Beyond Meat?
Of what?
Beyond meat.
That's not
so we're a couple
Burger
of vegetarians
King.
Here.
Yeah. Is that what that's the Beyond Burger? Okay.
No, that Burger King has the Impossible Burger, which is their competitor. This is that's just chicken.
Mm-hmm. Simple old chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's this based on?
So what's in it is bell peppers, habanero peppers. I'll just put a little dab there in the middle, and then there is a lot of spices. So there's garlic. There's cardamom. There's hibiscus. So it's called habanero hibiscus. There's salt. There's sugar to make the brine. There's a lot of different things in it.
Spicy.
Yeah, it's definitely got a kick. It's good, mm-hmm. though. I like the flavor.
So, John, being a hot sauce fan, thoughts?
I didn't get that much on that one.
Oh, well, then dip
it. Yeah, this last one's got a good amount.
Or you could dip it in there.
Yeah, that works.
They tested out a ton of variations of this, too. Like, we had a taste test in the kitchen here, and it was like they're all like inconspicuously named like H4, H3. Mm-hmm. So we tried out all the variations.
I'm getting the after heat.
There is an after heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing that's
the one that you eventually wipe in your forehead.
Maybe we should have done this at the end. Sweating.
It'll make the podcast more truthful. Mm-hmm. We can get into everything like, gosh, okay, and then we'll get into this and that.
You just start sweating. Rush.
Less guarded.
Yeah.
Maybe it's truth sauce.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts on the bigger
sodium
bite?
Pentothal in it.
Things you dial back, things you want to.
It's good. It's not an overpowering flavor. It's like a subtle, but it's not all hot sauces. Do you want that to be the main thing you taste when you're eating, when you're having it on food? You want to taste the food and then have some heat, you know, have it complement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it seems like it does.
Yeah.
It's a complementary heat.
Yeah, I'd say one of the big things for me with hot sauces is it just like, I'm not a huge fan just because it makes me, like, I can't eat anymore. Like, my lips are burning and all that stuff. Luckily, I didn't get any on my lips, so I don't know how that feels. But it's not a, hey, I don't want to have any more anymore. Like, it's like, oh, I'll have another bite. I'll try this again. I like it.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah.
It's good.
Okay, cool. So that was sponsored by Have Hot Sauce. I will jump into this.
Yeah.
So Morgan will kind of be, be our guide here as we go through what we've created in Facebook and all the different tactics that you guys can utilize.
Yeah.
So this is your ad account. We've created 4 different campaigns here. Mm-hmm. None of them are on, but you're welcome to use them. So essentially what we use a lot at Mazama is a funnel strategy. So we're going to start really wide targeting at the top and just sort of narrow that as we go along, hitting people in different points in the buying process. Some people take a little bit more time when they're introduced to a product to be convinced to buy. So we try to hit people at all those different stages.
So I call it when, like when we go to a tournament and then we're there for several days and so are the players and the people. Mm-hmm. And if they don't know us, they'll come by and see and they'll talk for a minute, you know. And we'll just talk a little bit. Yep. I call it first touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just first touch, and then they come back the next day. You can tell they've been thinking about it.
You got them. Yeah.
So I just
So the beginning is like letting them know that you exist, like at the tournament. They see the booth. Yeah. So that's the first thing. You can't expect people to be buying a top of the line bat. Like, oh, I see it. I'm buying it.
Right.
That they've never heard of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I borrow a sheet of paper from you too? Thanks.
There's a pencil here too.
I got a pen.
Okay. So this A, B, and C campaigns that you see right here, the conversion and then the 2 DPA labeled ones are part of the funnel. The brand awareness is a little bit outside of the funnel, and it plays a little bit of a part in it because we do have it set up so that you can go to the website from there. And the way Facebook ad campaigns, and I know you've been playing with it a little bit, so I'm sure you're a little aware of it, but so each different campaign objective is optimized to get the most of whatever that objective is. So for the brand awareness, that's going to be optimized to get the most amount of people to remember your brand, to recall your ads. So that's how it measures it here. You can see it says estimated ad recall lift. So that's what it uses to measure the success for the...
On the one that says lookalike, lookalike of what? Was that on the lookalike that I already had on there?
So similar.
It's based on my customer list? Or
yeah, so this one is built off of Instagram and Facebook page engagers. So people who are on your Facebook page, on your Instagram, they're engaging with it, they're commenting, liking, sharing posts, that kind of thing. So then that lookalike audience, and it sounds like you know a little bit about it, but it takes that source audience, so that Instagram and Facebook page engagement, that source, and it finds people with similar interests to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the lookalikes actually already automatically exclude that source audience, that original audience, so you won't have those people who are already on your Facebook page. It's only going to be new people.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a question, and you might know this on the look-alike audiences, and I guess you'd have to know what Facebook, their algorithm that they use to create a look-alike, because the main key thing there for them is baseball. Mm-hmm. So does it work off of that, and then does it keep one demo the same and then add in all the other parts to them? Or I'm just wondering how they do that, you know?
They don't say flat out. I mean, they're pretty cautious about protecting people's private information, so you can't see exactly what they're using as
secret
that
sauce.
Common source. Yeah. But I mean, it can get pretty obscure, and I was actually going to jump into this too, but in the audience insights, which I can show you in a little bit, it'll show you common interests that people have who are following your page or interacting with your page.
Yeah.
And so the lookalike audience won't tell you exactly which of those interests it's using, but it's probably a lot of those. And a lot of it is baseball mm-hmm. pages. I think I'm trying to remember some of the ones I saw in there when I was in there.
Automotive.
We'll jump into it later.
I saw a bunch on there.
Actually, this audience I did make off of the audience insights, so we can look at that one. Okay, so it's actually pretty cool because about the majority of Facebook is women by a little bit, and I think it's like 50% women, or 55%, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But for your page, for the McDougal Bats page, it is like 95% men, to be expected. So this audience we made was based off of targeting the whole United States. And what we do when we're making audiences is we like to keep an eye on that potential reach over there.
Mm-hmm.
And especially depending, you know, your potential reach and then your budget that you're using are gonna go hand in hand. So if you have a really high budget and you're going after a small amount of people, you're gonna have ridiculous ad costs,
right.
Which you wanna avoid because you wanna have the best cost possible. But so for these audience insights, targeting the whole U.S., the majority of the people were married, so we're targeting married college grad men, and then these demographics are based on the highest percentage of work industries that were within your audience insights, so people following your page.
Do you want to jump to the audience insight to show that?
Yeah.
Huh. So you created your own lookalike, essentially.
Similarly,
And so they will test. So those audiences, all those things, all those ad sets that was the screen before, they're all going to test against each other because we don't know which one's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
We don't assume like, oh, that one looks really good. But to just assume that that would work, you don't know. Even if it does work, what if a different audience would have worked better? So that's the idea
so
of split testing,
kind
A-B
of
testing.
A-B testing on audiences.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So here you can... called people who are connected to your page is what they go off of. And so as you can see, 96% men. And this compares it to the average on Facebook too, like the average Facebook page follower. So a lot of this is like if I hover, it should say, 31% more likely to be in this group compared to like all Facebook users.
Wow.
Which is significant.
Exactly, yeah. And then industries as well, so you can take a look at where I pulled some of those demographics from.
Yeah.
157% more.
Yeah.
That makes sense because
I was going to say, mm-hmm. actually seeing this now, like it obviously makes sense. It's just, it's still
mm-hmm.
surprising to see how it's broken down like this.
And this will be accessible to you guys too as you're playing around with campaigns and stuff. And you can see page likes, so. Like the category of that type of page, and then the top companies or pages that people are following.
Mm-hmm.
And I did take, I think I took Pinnacle Sports, and I made a competitor audience, which we'll also look into later on as well.
I know them.
Yeah. Oh, personally?
Yeah, he's in New York.
Oh, cool. So it's basically just an overall breakdown of what the people look like who are following you. We can look at location too. So, 900% more likely to be in this group, the Albuquerque, New Mexico group, Facebook users.
Well, it makes sense. New Mexico is all wood bats for high school.
Oh.
So they're basically the full age range of baseball players are using wood.
Cool.
Well, I guess not Little League, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Activities, what kind of devices they're using, is pretty common nowadays to see almost everybody on mobile.
Yeah.
Desktop is not nearly as popular.
Which with this, so when you look at this, you've seen a mobile is like 73%, and that's just rising every year.
Yeah.
That's what you got to think of when you're making all your creative. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're just like in the shop or you're out at a transportation, or not transport, you're out at a tournament, you're like, okay, how is this going to be mobile friendly? And the first thing to make something mobile friendly is to shoot stuff, unfortunately, like this, vertical, and as opposed to horizontal.
Yeah.
Because when you shoot it vertical, it's going to take up way more real estate on the thing that 73% of people look at.
Yeah.
It actually takes up more real estate on the desktop as well when you shoot vertical. Facebook and Instagram just basically said vertical one.
Yeah.
And if you do that, your post is going to take up pretty much the entire phone, and you're going to compete with about nothing else. And if you do horizontal, although artistically it might look better and everything like that, you're still, they'll be able to see two other posts at least.
It's easier to scroll past.
Way easier to just blow past it as opposed to taking up the whole thing.
Yeah.
So as you guys are doing stories, anything at all, even taking standard cameras like these and just all of a sudden turning them up like that. So when we do post on this podcast, we're thinking about that too, because it's the same on LinkedIn, it's the same on Facebook, obviously Instagram. Mm. And we're making words pop up on the bottom and then like a headline at the top. So when we find micro marketing of this and we're like, oh, this is something you want to know when it comes to strong bat, and this is how this company got their hustle going and now they're a full-fledged deal, that will be like something on top and then there'll be something on the bottom. And the point of that is so it's optimized for mobile.
Yeah. Right.
So
makes sense.
Yeah, I made sure, because I knew how much mobile traffic was, so our website, it's a Shopify site, but it's the theme we used is totally geared at mobile.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's smart.
Even the Google Analytics and Search Console, you know, I've run the tests that say it's mobile friendly.
Yeah.
Good.
Great.
Especially like, I mean, when you're sitting at a baseball game, I mean, who's going to be the ones looking up bats? Most likely it's going to be the parents.
Yeah.
When are the parents going to be looking at bats? Right as their kid breaks a bat.
Their
kid breaks a bat, they're going to be at a game.
Yeah.
They don't normally bring their computer with them. They've got their phone. So,
that's something cool.
Even
you
if they're
do.
Home.
Yeah.
Like, how many times have you yourself been like, your computer could be literally like right there. Or it could be right here. I've had my computer be right here, and I'm like, you know, I'm just still on my phone.
Yep.
I'm so, I don't feel like getting.
I
know it's right there.
Only time I open up my computer
anymore,
I have to
pull up the same,
yeah.
I have to go and find that. I just don't want to do it. Will it be faster? Yes. Am I going to do it? A lot of times, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I send emails from there because it's way easier to do. Like,
yeah.
I like group emails.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I was looking at the, I think I ran across something yesterday because I've been kind of redoing and re-looking at all the SEO on our site and everything, and then looking at all the stuff on the search engines, and it's funny how like Bing and Yahoo have a lot higher conversion rate than Google does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if it's because of this statistically significant numbers, but I think it's kind of a deal where people who don't want to go with the crowd, our bat being new and being different and more expensive and a little, you know, edgier, if you will, and we're going after first adopters, those people probably also tend to use stuff like Bing and Yahoo and DuckDuckGo as well. So maybe that's why it's like double the conversion rate.
Yeah.
Also, Bing and Yahoo tend to be on an older scale, so you just have more disposable income as well.
Yeah,
that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a, but those things, both of the things we've said, they can, that Venn diagram overlaps in areas. First adopters who are older, that's a very common thing. Like people that adopt things are of all ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was sort of the audience insights. I think we touched on.
I've never seen a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm making ads, it's like I'm self-taught on everything.
Uh-huh.
It's like, Same with making the bats. I had never made bats before. I'd never invented a bat before. So
just figure it out.
Facebook is always been changing too. They're always updating. They're always rolling out new stuff. It's like you can never know it all because they're always bringing in something new.
There's a lot there. There's a lot to know.
And then I noticed you're doing some of this, so this is something you do now, but just general interest targeting. And so this is going to be one of the...
audiences.
Yeah, and one of the really good targeting options that I like to use is engaged shoppers, which is included on this one. So it's going to be people who are clicking the Shop Now button, people who are active on Facebook, actively buying from ads on Facebook. So doing pretty standard, basic, you know, just baseball bat narrowed by people who have clicked the call to action button Shop Now in the past week. And then we actually had our creative team come up with two types of,
So you found the orange bat.
Potential ad styles. We were talking about has sort of an artisanal feel to it, so a lot of imagery that's focused on the build, the structure, feels really authentic. Also using a lot of reviews, highlighting your unique value, which you bring, which is the warranties. You know, you have that 6-month warranty on adult bats, and then you're going to be rolling out that lifetime warranty on the youth bats, which is sounds like it's something nobody else is doing. So you want to play that up as much as possible.
I would like we would even want to go as you're going further into it, just like more and more creative on youth bat lifetime warranty. Like that's the differentiator. Play it hard.
We're
going to talk about it. The only lifetime, the only bat with a lifetime warranty, we need to edit that in to say like youth bats. It says up top youth bats as well. You see the warranty, lifetime warranty, put youth on there as we're throwing this stuff together for you guys. But you get the idea of like play that hard. Like you have something really different. We have all these different ways that Morgan can go in and our team go and be like, okay, look at this audience and that audience, and we A/B test this, this and that. But if you're not standing out from the crowd, then it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter how
specific your audience is.
Well, that's that's going to blow their mind right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
you can't get away from baseball metaphors. especially a wood bat. You know, most people are going to go, what?
It's unheard of.
Something else, too, is keeping the sort of look and feel and sound of the verbiage similar between the ads and your website. So it's a pretty seamless flow when you're going from one platform to the other, because all your conversions are going to be happening on your website. The ads goal is to just get people there and to be pushing them to make that that conversion that you're asking it to do.
Speaking the language.
You want to make sure that the consumer doesn't feel like they went somewhere on accident. So they're like, okay, this
I should be here.
And that seems, and the thing that's hard about imagining that is probably what you're thinking, because I used to think this often. It's like they'll get it. You give people too much credit. They won't. They really won't. You'll have a higher bounce rate. And because you're so used to your business, because any business owner watching this is so ingrained into their business, it's so hard to take yourself on the whole macro viewpoint and be like, I get it, but this is all I do. What is somebody who's never heard of me before going from one thing of seeing my verbiage to another, are they going to get, I get that I went from lifetime warranty. Maybe it may not mention it here on the website. But they'll get it. No, they won't. They'll be like, it doesn't say anything about the lifetime warranty, or it's in a different font. I also don't trust it. I'm not reading. People glance at stuff. So if the lifetime warranty, like, badge that we put on there, the stamp that you saw, if that's not also on the website, they're going to be like, it doesn't say the same thing. It might even say the same thing. But people read with, like, symbolism all the time. And so just because you get it doesn't mean they do. And that's the hardest thing to do as a marketer, is to dumb yourself down to somebody that has no idea what you do.
Makes a lot of sense.
It's real easy to forget that.
It is. And even when you try to do it, it's called the curse of knowledge. And so basically a person tends to, like, you know a 10 about bats, And then you'll get into marketing like, well, let's assume they don't know as much, so we're going to bring it down.
Right.
And so you typically bring it down to a 6, and your consumer is typically at, even people that play baseball are at a 1 to 3 max. Mm-hmm. So most of them are going to be at a 2. So that curse of knowledge is a 4, a gap of 4 knowledge points where you're just like, you're just over my head.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's breaking stuff down. Like, you could get into the specifics of this is why and everything like that, why it doesn't break, but just straight up like, these don't break. If they do, we'll pay for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, my attention.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense.
Okay, sorry.
No.
Go to the next
good,
thing.
Good
I get all excited.
Yeah. Got a lot of passion here.
Yeah. Huh? Don't worry, we get excited.
Yeah. So diving into the funnel that I was referencing a little bit. So this was going to be our A-band, top of the funnel, broad. We're going to be asking people for not a huge commitment. So we're only asking them to get to the website, to look at the content.
Mm-hmm.
And this is set up based on your Facebook pixel. So I noticed you do have that installed on your website. I didn't go through all of the events, but there are a bunch of different events that you're going to want installed.
So a Facebook pixel, for the audience that doesn't know, is basically this snippet of code that you install onto every page of your website, and this allows you to retarget people amongst many other things, create lookalike audiences like we were talking about before, based on people who went to your website, based on people who bought from you, all sorts of things. Probably one of the biggest strengths that we use it for is things like retargeting specific pages. If somebody goes to the youth section of your page, we should probably tell them about youth bats, right?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody goes to the adult section of the page, we should probably tell them about the adult bat, and so on and so forth. So getting that specific and giving things that are relevant to them to put them down the funnel more. So you guys have a pixel installed. It could be a bit more specific, but I just wanted to make that quick breakdown.
Yeah.
It's the on our generic websites or WordPress or whatever, on some of them you do have to put them on every page. The nice thing about on the Shopify is there's a spot in the admin to just plug in your admin.
Shopify and
your
Facebook
pixel.
Tight.
Like, if we highly, highly recommend any entrepreneur that is looking to sell stuff online, use Shopify because
right.
of how well it works with Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It makes our job a lot easier.
Right.
Yeah. And something we'll dive into for the DPAs, Shopify, it uses what's called a catalog, which is shared between Shopify and Facebook, and it's your product catalog. So that's part of what makes it so easy to use Shopify when you're looking to do social ads on Facebook, because it just sort of automatically pulls it right from Shopify into Facebook versus a lot of these other websites where you're going to have to manually go in and create the catalog yourself.
Right.
So it makes it, it's like a minute to get that catalog.
I've got a question on with the Facebook pixel. I know it's there to track events, but is there any way to differentiate in analytics? What ad, you know, it tells you a lot of people came to the site,
mm-hmm.
but how do you know which ad? Other than just looking at the ad and seeing what the traffic is,
mm-hmm.
You can't. How I thought of this question before.
I think I know
it's like it's like if you're doing A/B testing, and you see one ad and you're seeing the amount of traffic, but maybe all the people, and if they're about the same, hey, maybe all these people were from Texas and this ad applies appeals to them, and this one, all these people were from California. Maybe that'll, it doesn't, you, I don't think there's a way to kernelize, get down to the nitty gritty on some of that stuff, other than numbers, is there?
So you can use, there's actually URL parameters that you can set up, which I can show you a little bit of here. So you can build a URL parameter right in Facebook, and it basically just tacks it onto the end of the URL. So anytime anybody clicks on that specific link within your ad, it'll, in your Google Analytics, you'll be able to see, as long as you're titling it, like it would be, so campaign source, we would say, it's coming from us, the Mazama, it's coming from Facebook, and then the campaign name, I think we're in like funnel A.
Oh, okay.
And then content, you can say image 1, 2, C1, and so that would point to it's in this specific campaign, our A funnel, so our view content optimized campaign, and then speak to the specific ad. So as long as you're titling all your ads consistently, then you'll be able to look into Google Analytics and see exactly which ad it came from.
Okay.
And you should be able to break down by demographics, location, and that sort of thing.
Through Google Analytics?
Yeah,
Google Analytics. All good stuff and stuff I don't have time to do.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot of deep diving. You really gotta want it.
At a certain point, I started getting the 200-yard stare.
So now we're in the. I'll just show you the campaign. So the conversion A campaign, view content optimized. So getting to people website, looking at your products. And then we have it broken down by youth and adult, and we're A/B testing two different audiences in here within those youth and adult categories. So it'll be 1% lookalike off of purchasers, and we chose that purchaser custom audience because ultimately we want people purchasing. This point we're only asking them to view content, but the ultimate goal is to get them there viewing that content so that they will purchase in the future. And so that's what the funnel will continue to build on. So we have competitor targeting as well. And with these youth categories, we're narrowing by parent demographic. So in Facebook, you can actually say somebody who says they're a parent on Facebook. And then when we made this audience, we were looking at the reach size here, potential reach, and it was a little small, so what we ended up doing is pulling in little league baseball interests as well, in case somebody's not listing that they're a parent on Facebook, or Facebook isn't picking up on that. And then within these, what we recommend is doing a carousel style ad. And the cool thing about these, I'm sure you've seen them on your own Facebook if you haven't been using them yourself.
Yeah.
So you can scroll through and it'll show off each individual.
And you put copy in it too.
Yeah. You'll put in copy here. You can say
lifetime warranty. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can dynamically fill it with the price too, or the product name or something like that. So somebody has the price right off. And then for each card, so for each different bat that you're showing or different product, you can click shop now and it'll take you to that exact product on your website, as long as you're putting that exact URL in the link when you're building the ad.
So I imagine you guys have done a lot of testing on with the carousels, and you find that
they work very, very well with DPA, which Morgan will get into in a second. They work well, but as long as you know how to use them and set them up right.
Right.
And every account is different too. Anytime we get a new client, we always like to test out a bunch of stuff, because you never know what works for one company might not work for the other company.
Yeah.
So we have a sort of standard way we like to start, but we're always A/B testing and optimizing and finding the best.
Trying to find the better route.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With companies like, imagine like a company like Will Leather that's completely global, you know, very broad-based customer base, whereas ours is more specific to it's a niche thing.
Hence the 96% male.
And so then moving into the next funnel band, B band. So it's optimized for adding to cart, and we're actually going to be retargeting people who are viewing content. So at this level, we're going to be picking up people who viewed content but did not purchase. Because we don't want to be bugging somebody with an ad if they already bought it.
Bought
and that's
it, yeah.
Especially a waste of advertising dollars. So we're going after them too. So, and this is great too, because it'll capture, even though we have at this stage, we have it broken down into adult and youth, these DPAs are dynamic. It's called dynamic product ad. So using the Facebook pixel and then the catalog, it's taking the information of exactly what product this specific person is looking at, or products, and then it will put it into one carousel ad, and actually have.
Oh, really?
So I don't have some for you guys because we don't have your catalog set up, but we would have to have Shopify access and all that, but I can show you products for these guys, one of our other clients.
So these are actually this technology, the dynamic changing product, self-explanatory ad. This is a catalyst to getting some pretty high ROI. Just having somebody go and look at specific bats on your site, and then all of a sudden that's a specific thing that's showing up to them.
Right.
That same exact bat they were looking at, followed by the one they were looking at the second most, is created for each person. It's created for the parent that was looking at the youth bats. It's created for the adult that was looking at adult bats. And then maybe he went and looked at a youth bat. Well, then it's going to show him an adult and then a youth. It's going to remind him of both. Hmm. They're very high converting ads when done right and put the funnel in the correct way.
Yeah.
So this is an example of somebody who looked at a toothpick holder and then a deer skin bow tie.
Just that reinforcement. Yeah. Yeah. Visual reinforcement.
Well, they it's incredibly inexpensive. Right now they're running sometimes as low as like 50 cents to bring somebody back to the site. We've had some success stories where it's like less than 30 cents of somebody who was already at the site, was looking at that specific product, and now they're back for like 30 cents. Even a dollar. I think $3 is a steal at that for you guys when you're selling a much like a $300 like best bat that is made. That even makes sense, but it wouldn't be as high as $3
because
it works that well.
Yeah.
So that'd be one of the biggest tips we'd have is like implement this
technology,
implement dynamic product ads.
Yeah, the conversion rate difference we see from not using DPAs to using DPAs
is crazy,
massive.
Really?
Yeah, that's So a lot of people buy when you're showing them that exact product that they were looking at. You can do that. What we have that set up as a slideshow too, so you can optimize within the carousel to have that specific product show all the different pictures that you have on the website, which is a pretty cool aspect. We've seen that do really well as well, the carousel slideshow.
Okay. I guess on the dynamic ads, it's kind of a retargeting thing, I guess. The population has moved beyond it being creepy.
We're gonna show you really creepy pretty soon. We rarely get people saying negative stuff about the ads that we create, and they're all very specific like it doesn't happen that often, and the amount of people it converts for.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I do remember it was like a new thing though, and people were shocked that they're being followed around on all their social channels.
It's like, wait a minute, how did they know I was looking at
that?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those like, it's really, oh yeah, that's cool. Like, I was just looking at that, and then you take that second and you're like,
huh,
wait. They're spying on me.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so this final step of the funnel would be DPAs again, but you're going to be going after people who added to their cart but didn't purchase. So a step beyond that view content. They're almost there. They need a little bit more love in order to make that final.
So there's like a funnel within a funnel here, like a DPA funnel, because we take it that seriously.
Yeah.
So that's the next one.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's a lot of times, I mean, right now, what do we have? Just an email going out?
I've got an abandoned cart email too.
Hey, come on back.
I just changed the wording on it too. I said, oh, you're so close.
Yeah.
But the thing, so the email one though, your open rate is probably going to be, if you're doing really good and have good copy in the subject line, really good, it'll be 30%.
Yeah,
that's really good. Most of the time, we're somewhere between 10 and 20, where this is just going to be straight up open
on
everybody's newsfeed. It'll be like 100% open rate for the people that go on Facebook or Instagram that
day, that's kind of
which
what
is everyone.
It's kind of what I was getting at. It's like it's more just like a, hey, come on back please, and then you never know. Sometimes they do have the conversion that, you know,
but don't mistake
this is
don't mistake what I said though, to not do it.
Definitely
do the email stuff. This would be complimentary to that,
right?
Because the nice thing about the email thing is it's also free. Right, like you have to pay to
distribute. It's automatic
this.
It just goes
So this is just like you're in their inbox, and like, yeah, that's right. And then they're like, yeah, I'm not going to do anything about it. And they didn't open it. And then all of a sudden they're on their phone on Instagram, and there's that bat. Like, it is pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, if they've gotten to checkout and they've put all their information in and written in the name they want engraved and everything, you know, because I go and look at them and then it's like, oh,
they're so close.
They want it.
they wanted to sit on it a little bit longer. So that's the final, pretty simple. I mean, just retargeting those add to carts. Budget wise, what we like to do is about 70-80% of your budget we're putting in that A band, especially those audiences are going to be bigger, they're going to be broader. Mm-hmm. Once you start getting down into...
Well, really quick, what she just said, 70-80% of your budget going towards not sale. And that's hard for a lot of people mm-hmm. to do right. when they're marketing, especially for their own business. Like, no, I need sales now. So the concept of, yeah, but putting the vast majority of your budget towards just getting the idea out
brand awareness. Yeah.
Is because how else are you going to be able to have that sale conversion bads like the DPA stuff if you don't have enough people going to your site? Those work off of people that are going to your site that are exploring you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's not happening, then there's nobody filling up the top of the funnel.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's why Morgan's recommending 70-80%, which
is pretty high. I understand that. Especially for a company like us, we're the David up against Goliath on baseball bats. You know, right. we're up against Wilson and Rawlings mm-hmm. and Easton and those companies.
Louisville Slugger,
you know, those names. So, and people have a tendency to be what I call brand zombies.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, they've got their thing and they're...
Yeah, they'll just go and buy what they've been told to.
Yeah.
So we're going to... You know, it's hard to break into their mind and put alternatives.
Yeah, for sure. You know. Our biggest barrier is just knowledge of the product. So it makes 100% sense.
Yeah, absolutely. If they don't know about it, they can't buy it. So you want to get as many people who know about it as possible.
Exactly.
So yeah, these are going to get smaller. 70-80% of your budget here. My math is probably going to be pretty poor, but you know, probably want to do about 20%, 10%. 5-10% here as well. So just those ranges we found to work really well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it always really depends on the client. Sometimes we have ad accounts where we don't even need the V-band of the funnel because people are buying right away. So we like to start here, see where people are dropping off in that flow, and then just fine tune it based on what we're actually seeing in terms of behavior, in terms of purchase behavior.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was going to ask her questions.
Yeah, it's like different behaviors from different types of ads. I've seen different, like even on this one, where you can see the traffic video boost, the video, and it's like gets a ton of traffic, really cheap, but it's funny, those boosts hardly get any likes on it or comments.
Mm-hmm.
Almost no likes or comments.
Mm-hmm.
Very few, especially in relationship to how many people click and go to the site from it. Whereas the static photographs and ads get a lot of traffic, mm-hmm. not quite as cheaply, but it gets a ton of likes and lots of comments where you can have conversations with customers. And I stay on top of that stuff, mm-hmm. you know. I check the notifications. Oh, somebody commented, and I go and look, you know,
it's good. There's sales there.
And I converse with people. It kind of blows their mind.
We're talking to clients all the time. Like, somebody needs to go in and talk these comments. Like, either hire us to do it, or you need it. Like somebody needs another client.
Well, I got a question on that. So, like, the video one as opposed to a picture one, is that just because it's... I mean, you're sitting there scrolling on your phone. Is it just one of those, like, oh, this is a 30-second, 40-second video? It's like, I know personally... I'm scrolling past those most of the time. Mm-hmm. Whereas a picture, oh, it's there. Good. Is that more just the psychology of...
Well, it gets a lot of traffic, though. They're clicking on the shop now button.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's a 15-second. I did whittle it down to the recommended 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And it could just be the information that you're offering in that video is convincing people, like, oh, yeah.
I want to go learn more.
As
opposed to, like, okay, I'm liking and then doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Because we have some clients where we can put a video up there and asking people to go to the website and they won't even do it. You know, they'll watch the video. We get so many people watching the video, but nobody's clicking on it. And then, you know, we have scenarios like this where, for whatever reason, it's working for you guys to show a video and have people be interested enough that they want to learn more and go through it. So I think that's probably a combination of who you're targeting is relevant to them, and then the type of video you're running is interesting, and they want to...
I think it's... like ads that elicit the juices, the emotional stuff. That little video, there's nobody talking, it's just a picture from up in a stadium of a guy at bat, and he hits, and it makes this awesome sound when he hits with our bat. It was one of the customers sent me, and then him running, hitting a double and running to second, you know, and I just talk a little bit about the sound. I said our bats make beautiful music, and this note we call double.
That's good. I like the copy.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that gets the emotional juices because people buy on emotion, right? So.
That's probably part of it too, because as long as people don't have anything, any settings blocking it, the videos will automatically play with sound too. So they're probably hearing that sound. They're stopping. That's relevant to them. That sound of the pop, if you're a baseball player, is probably super nice for them, that emotional aspect that you're talking about.
A lot of times they have to turn the sound on, though. I saw that ad. I would recommend putting, like, a sound on, like, emoji overlaid on the video. So you can hear it. Like, put your sound on to make sure you hear the song that we call the double or whatever you want to do. And then that gets more people.
Maybe I'm mixing up Facebook and Instagram or something. Whereas Instagram, you can have them, they're on all the time or off all the time.
It's basically once you turn it on, then they all turn on. A lot of people's setting is that you're looking at videos muted. That's a standard
thing. On Facebook?
I know mine is.
On both of them.
Yeah, I know mine is set
on LinkedIn as well.
To sound off unless I turn it on per video.
Most of them are default set like that, so you'd want to just be like, hey, turn your sound on to hear this bat. Hear the bat song. And it'd be interesting to see. You can A-B test that as well. That one sold more. Getting into that.
I was going to just say something really quick about this post-engagement, something that we've been doing, which is we've been building social proof. So we've been using this post-engagement objective to get people liking, commenting, so those numbers get really big. You know, you have like 3,000 people who liked your photo or something like that. So then you can actually take what's called a post ID. So say you have a post-engagement ad that's been running for a couple months. It has a ton of engagement on it. It looks great. You can take that into a brand awareness ad, and you can take the post ID of that ad that was in the post engagement campaign and basically pull that ad into brand awareness. So its objective is to get more people learning about the brand, and it keeps all that engagement on it. So we like to call it social proof, because somebody who hasn't heard about your brand will see it and be like, oh, lots of people love this. I probably love it too. So just something really quick that we've been doing.
Cool.
Yeah.
You guys have any other questions on the campaign?
No. I probably have 100 questions, but
go for hours.
Yeah, right.
Well, let's show you the 2020 type stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a bot that we built for one of our clients. And it's a very in-depth one, and the way you get to this is you find an ad that's in your news feed, and in this case it's asking you can get like a free phone if you qualify for it by inputting your benefits. And so there's a lot of steps that go into this, but as Morgan begins the application, you guys will kind of go through like what's going on and what's going on behind the scenes. And while she's doing this, think of like, well, could this sell bats? The answer is yes. But putting in credit card numbers, all kinds of stuff like that. So if you go to begin application.
What are we on here?
This is one of our clients that I don't want to say out loud because we're going to be blurring out a few of this stuff.
But I mean, with this page.
This is Messenger.
Messenger.
This is Messenger. So we came here from an ad. We're in Facebook Messenger. Most of the time, this is done on a phone.
I was going to say, it looks different.
Exactly.
So somebody clicked on an ad and it took them to
Messenger. The app. Yeah, into the Messenger app. In this case, the Messenger desktop app. So here we sent them a picture of the rules and regulations, and now we're entering our zip code to see if we qualify for this program for this government program. So the bot says, you do. You live in Maryland, and now do you have existing pictures or do you need to take new pictures of your benefits? So we could put in use existing pictures, and we created this video. So here, this video teaches a person how, and you can see that's the Messenger app because most of the time it's done on a phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can go and they learn how to send pictures of their of their stuff. So you can have videos in here like talking about what kind of bat do you need? Do you want to hear the sound of bat? I would love to hear the sound. All of a sudden a video comes in of the sound and then the sound will be on there in Messenger. You're having this whole experience, a shopping experience of this bot basically doing what you want. Well, now what would you want? I want to know more about the lifetime warranty. Great. Here you go. Customer reviews, testimonials, video testimonials. It basically turns into this intricate thing, this conversation that they're able to have within Messenger. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the good things about this as well, as Morgan puts up the other, looking for a picture.
Yeah. Not sure what we have, but.
Try desktop. Go into the desktop.
We have a screenshot here that we can upload.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, actually, we have this.
Okay, so the bot sees the benefits and now what's the best number to reach and see how it autofills their phone number.
Yeah.
So we could be talking about doing a custom bat for somebody, hey, we're ready to ship your bat. What's a good number to reach you at? And then they can click the number.
You can also input your own.
You can also input a different one.
Mm-hmm.
But very easy, tap, what's your email? It's right there, so it's just taps. And then, what's your address?
So it fetches this stuff from your page.
Yeah, from your page. And so now we're like, hey, who do we want to send the bat to? In this case, where are we sending the phone to?
Mm-hmm.
And these are questions that we would need for this sort of program. You guys want to need to ask all this kind of specific stuff.
Yeah. So could this be, this theoretically could be used to just set up a whole sale?
Yeah.
Right?
You can put a credit card number in.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was getting at.
We can also do a carousel.
So here's the thing that's... Sorry, go ahead. Carousel.
Oh, yeah, just carousel ads like you saw, so people could scroll through
mm-hmm.
Different products.
So let's
could
say,
pop up
yeah.
there and just have...
And so let's say somebody gets to, this is the bat I want. Okay, great. What would you like it to say? I like it to say John Doe. And then all of a sudden, the person bails, right? Well, you can send them an email. You can do this, but what also you can do is you could jump in at any time.
And just actual...
At any time you could jump in, like, hey, I thought instead of talking to the bot, you'd like to talk to me. My name's Ian. I'm one of the owners.
Yeah.
And I think you picked the right bat with this red one with your name on it. It's going to look slick.
Yeah.
Where would you like us to ship it to? And you just completely take over the point of sale. And let's say they forgot to do it and you're busy making some bats and you see that they didn't get through the whole process. You can come back the next day because you're busy and just be like, hey, this is me. You also have the bot as you guys get bigger, automate the bot to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So the bot could see that they didn't go through the credit card and then we could program it so that an hour from now or a day or whatever we want to do, with just a nice little poke like, hey, you're really close to getting the bat of your dreams, lifetime warranty for your kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Assuming that it most likely is going to be adults going through this and not a kid with a credit card.
You never
know. Yeah.
Wouldn't be the first
time.
Yeah. Huh,
so you can see, you can see that like in here we're getting just all kinds of detailed information. And then another thing you do is you do shipping updates through this. Another cool thing you can do is you can literally... all the people that start messaging you, they could opt in the beginning, they could hear the sound, and then they kind of fall off. There's going to be plenty of that. There's going to be plenty of people like, I'm not really into it right now. I'm not really into market to buy a bat, but this is cool. I went through it a little bit. Look, hundreds, thousands even. Well, every person who opts in subscribes to your bot. And so you can give promotional material. You could talk about updates on the bat. You can talk about all this sort of stuff. And they all get hit with it with an 80% open rate as opposed to a 15% open rate on email.
For Mark, like sales and stuff like that.
Sales, yeah, promotional sales, information on a new partnership you guys are doing. Hey, just want to let you know we're going to be at the XYZ tournament. Come stop by our booth. Any sort of stuff like that. It's actually an 88% open rate right now. It's going to go down because marketers like Morgan and I are going to ruin that. But because just like email, back in the 90s, you open up everyone you got.
Yeah.
Now, no.
You get a bunch.
Yeah. So this is just history repeating itself.
Yeah.
But it's on Messenger, and it's a bit more intricate. And
yeah.
Much higher open rate. So this will be a great first advantage mover situation for the next, I would say, 2, maybe 3 years until it gets really saturated. Not that you should stop doing it at that point. Messenger marketing, it just won't be as effective like email.
And then maybe there's some big new thing that we have no idea about.
Yeah,
I'm sure you know.
Virtual reality. Virtual reality bat swinging. Test out the bat and you have
I've thought about that before of having since we're selling online and people can't hold like in a store touch and feel the bats and stuff. Is having like a virtual showroom where somebody can do a live chat. They're on the site. And they come on and you're there like a salesman and have a deal with the bats behind you on a wall, have a special location, little room for it, and say, well, you can grab one off the wall and say, put it up close to the camera and say, and see, this knob is like this. You know, it has a little different feel to it. And here's our, you know, midnight blue and stuff like that. I thought would be, because, you know, it's not for everybody, all customers, but some people would like that.
Well, it's just, you know. It's just like how you learn. There's so many different ways people learn that it's like, it's the same thing here. Everyone has a different way that they're susceptible, for lack of a better term, for being persuaded to buy something.
Absolutely, yeah.
So this is the 2020 thing I was telling you guys about, like
the creepy thing of the future.
So, but yeah, that's basically a quick rundown on what we think any company should be doing. Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for this.
Yeah,
we're gonna hang this probably in here for future podcast stuff like that. It's pretty sweet. We appreciate it a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks a lot for coming on, guys. It's been a
pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.